Once again, dear church family and friends, we will be looking at that text in John 14:6. And we see really in today's passage of Holy Scripture the Lord's continued conversation with his disciples after the Lord's Supper. And so we see here he's continuing to have this conversation with them. And there were many uncertainties, weren't there? Christ's disciples had many uncertainties. What would happen to Christ? The way in which he would take his departure, as it were. They had many uncertainties for the matters of eternity and the matters of the soul. And the Lord really seeks here to comfort these troubled hearts with the profound words in John 14. And in particular, the text we find in verse 6, where the Lord Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." These words are astounding, aren't they? No man has ever claimed, ever in history, to be the way, the truth, and the life. But here is such a man who claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way in which we can truly know God savingly, know of his salvation, to have that broken relationship restored because of our sin. These profound words were not only given to God's people back then, to those who sought the Lord, who followed the Lord, but they are also given to all those who truly seek to know God from the heart, genuinely, earnestly seek to know God from the heart, as the commandment is given, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that you've got, to seek the Lord and to know God savingly, to know the way to God, to have a true relationship with God. And so, firstly, dear friends, Jesus said, didn't he, for our first part of the text, "I am the way." I am the way. What does that mean? What does he mean when he says, "I am the way"? It means simply this, that Jesus Christ is the only way in which we can know of God's salvation, in which we can have a true relationship with God and have a home in heaven. Because Jesus is one with the Father. Jesus is God in the flesh, stepped into history, lived that perfect life that we can never live. And he has come to be a mediator between us and God, to bring us to God, to forgive us our sins. So Jesus Christ is the only way for us to know of God's salvation. There is no other way for us to know of God's salvation in the home in heaven. Many other people will tell you, even religious people will tell you, that there's another way to get right with God. They may say to you, you can go to a priest and confess your sins to a priest, and somehow that priest will forgive you your sins, and everything will be okay. But that's not true. That's a backdoor, isn't it? That's not the right way. Jesus Christ is that chief priest, as it were. He is the only one that is able to save us from our sins. He is the only mediator between us and God. And back in the days of Christ, there were many that taught that there is another way to get right with God. And they often said that, and we see right throughout John's Gospel, we see the Pharisees and the religious leaders arguing with Jesus, saying, well, it's because of our birth, it's because of the family that we come from, that we come from Abraham's seed. This gives us an automatic right, really. This gives us an automatic right to heaven and to know God. But yet, many of them did not know God. They thought through their birth, through their family. They thought through their good deeds and through their civility and many other such traditions. They thought that these things were enough to get right with God. They taught another way, a way which was just being a good person and keeping the moral law, as it were. And all these things are good. These things are good. It is good for us to be law-abiding. It is good for us to be well-mannered and to do good things. But none of these things can ever, ever save us. So they taught another way, a different way, in which the Lord Jesus taught, the Son of God taught. None of these things can ever save us from our sin. Because the Bible is very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us deep down, if we're honest with God, we all have become as an unclean thing. The Bible says that even our own righteousness is as filthy rags. You see, our sin is like a great mountain range of sin that separates us from God. We cannot climb over it. We cannot get over this great barrier to God. There's a great gulf between us and God because of our sin. There's a great ocean, as it were, of sin between us and God. And we cannot swim across this ocean. It's too deep. We will drown because our sin is so great. One lie bars us from heaven. One murmur, one gossip bars us from heaven. One sinful lust in our heart bars us from heaven. All of these sins, as it were, they separate us from God. And so the way to God and the way to have a home in heaven is a way of absolute holiness. It's a way of absolute holiness. If we're honest with ourselves, can I say that I've lived an absolute holy life? And I'll be the first one to put my hand up and say, I have not lived a holy life. I have fallen way short of the mark. Every one of us here has not lived a holy life. We're sinners by nature. We have sinned in our minds. We have sinned with our eyes, with our ears, with our hearts, with our hands. We have sinned. So the way to God is a holy way. It must be a holy way. You see, because heaven is a holy place, no sin can ever enter into heaven. No darkness can ever enter into heaven. Nothing that defiles, nothing that corrupts can ever enter into a holy heaven, a heaven of light. And so we, in our natural condition, our sinful condition, we cannot enter into heaven. The way is the way of holiness. And friends, we all miss the mark and the bullseye of obedience, don't we? All of us. In each and every one of us, we want to do good. I'm sure all of us here, we want to do good. We want to be kind. We want to be loving. But there is natural sin and corruption. So we all miss the mark, as it were. And like I said, there is a great barrier. There's a great wall, as it were, that separates us from knowing God. There's a great wall of sin, and we cannot break through that wall. It is too strong for us. Our sin, the devil, and the world, they are far too strong for us. So the way to God must be a holy way. And that bars us in our natural condition, because we know that we're not holy, are we, in ourselves? But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says that I am the way. I am the way. He is the only one that can say I'm the way, because he is the only one that's lived a holy life. He is the only one that was born of a virgin, Mary, miraculously, and always did good, always spoke well, always overcame evil with good. He is the only one that has been obedient constantly. And so he is the only one that can make a way for us to be righteous with God, because he is the only one that is holy. No one can accuse God of sin, of Jesus of sin. Jesus is the only one who can say that he has lived a holy life of perfect obedience, always honouring his Father, always honouring, always obedient, always pure, always doing good. He is the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one that is just enough to satisfy the divine justice of God. God is a God of holiness and is a God of justice. And so therefore, because God is a God of justice, he cannot allow sin. He cannot allow corruption into heaven. Anything that's dark and black and sinful, he cannot allow in. Jesus is the only one that is just enough to satisfy God's justice. And so the way is not only a way of holiness, it's a way of justice. You see, that excludes us by nature. We're not holy. We are not just by nature. We have become unjust. We can be unjust by nature. But God, Jesus Christ, satisfied the punishment of God upon sin. He, as it were, was the Lamb that soaked up all the sins of all those who would believe upon him. Justice was done on the cross of Calvary. Perfect justice, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, as it were. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not only perfectly holy, unlike us, he was not only perfect, he was also perfectly just, unlike us who could be unjust. He also is powerful enough as well to endure the punishment. You see, dear friends, we can never endure what Christ has endured on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ came and suffered for all the sins of all those millions of people from all different backgrounds, from all different nations of the world, when he came, such was the agony that he was sweating blood. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that he would be filled with all the sin of all those who would come to believe upon his name as the way to God. And so he was soaked up, all the sin was soaked in the Lamb of God. And then God the Father miraculously punished his own Son. And so he was punishing our sins in Jesus, so that we can be free from our sin. So that he can be that advocate with the Father. And we can be free now to live for him. He was punished for our sins, to forgive our sins. Justice was met at the cross of Calvary. So Jesus Christ is the way, because he is the only one who is holy enough, who is just enough, and who is powerful enough to give his life and to take it again. He gave his holy life for our sins. He is the only one who was powerful enough to die and then take his life again and rise over sin and death and making a way for us to have our sins forgiven and to be cleansed. He can make us holy who are sinners. He makes us holy by his Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus Christ's name, he makes us holy. He looks upon us when we believe upon his name. He looks at us as perfectly holy. Why? But I'm a sinner. I've lied. I have done so much wrong in my life. I've fallen. I've been disobedient. But when I believe on the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, on his holiness, on his justice, on his power, and I believe in it by faith that what he did at the cross of Calvary was for me and for you, when I believe on that, well, Jesus doesn't look at me as a hell-deserving sinner anymore. He looks and sees his Son's righteousness, his Son's obedience, his Son's justice. He doesn't see me anymore. He sees his Son in me. Amazing love, amazing mercy. But he doesn't see me anymore. This fallen man, this corrupt man, he looks upon me and he sees his Son, Jesus. I look at the heart now and I see that Jesus is in my heart. I love him more than anything. And he sees this. He doesn't see my failures, even as a Christian. Even as a Christian, I can fail God. He doesn't see any of those things anymore. He remembers my sins no more. They are as white as snow. And so when he looks at me, he sees. He only sees white as snow. No more sin anymore. If you believe in your heart, with your whole heart, that Jesus is God, he is one with the Father. And what he says to you, that if you believe upon his name, that he is the way to God, he is the way for you to have all your sins forgiven and to have a home in heaven, he will save you. And he will look upon you. He will look upon you. When he looks upon you, he'll be looking at his son's righteousness. What a wonderful truth this is, dear friends. That so you can know God today through Jesus Christ alone. Now, dear friends, just a note of encouragement for those who are believers and Christians here already. Though the way at times can be very difficult, as a Christian, it can be very difficult, can't it? We have so many things to contend with. We live in a dark world, a sin-sick world. There are many powers and evils that are trying to take us away from God. Many temptations, many snares, many trials of faith. And I just want to encourage you from God's word in Philippians 1:6 that says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you truly set off in the way of Jesus, when you truly trust in the name of Jesus Christ and you're truly converted, he that's begun that good work in you will keep you in his love and in his truth until he comes again. So I want to encourage you that when you are truly converted, you can never ever lose your salvation. That God will always help you and give you grace and help in the Christian life. And so take courage. And so Jesus Christ is not only the way to God to truly know God savingly. He is not only the one mediator between us and God. We don't need to go to a priest. We can go straight to Jesus and pray to him and believe that he is God that has suffered for our sins. He is the one mediator between us and God. He is the ladder, as it were, between us and God. He is the door to heaven. He is the door to know God. And, friends, he is the bridge, as it were, that bridges the gap between us and God. He is the one mediator. But he is not only the way to know God savingly, but he is also the truth, isn't he? He is the truth. He is the author and source of all truth in the universe. He is the truth behind why we are created. He has created us from the dust of the ground. He has breathed life into us. He has given us a living soul. He is the truth to why we are here now, today. We are all here today. There's a truth behind why you're at church today. There's a truth behind why we have a family. Why there's marriage. Why the 7 days in the week. There's a truth behind why we wear clothes. Why do we wear clothes? Because of sin. The animals don't wear clothes. I'm quite happy that animals don't wear clothes because it'd be quite costly. But there's a reason why animals don't wear clothes. Because of sin. Sin has made us fall into these things. Jesus Christ is the truth behind everything. There is no flickers of darkness in him. We have darkness, don't we? We have sin. But in Jesus Christ, there's no flicker of darkness in him. He is absolute light. He is absolute truth. Jesus Christ is the truth and the substance behind all the Old Testament pictures and shadows and types. When it talked about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, it pointed to Jesus. It pointed to that one and only sacrifice that we need. He is the truth behind all these things. They all point to Jesus. And dear friends, Jesus is the only true sanctuary which we can run to refuge. He is the one true tabernacle, as it were. Not man. We don't go to man. We go to Jesus. the Son of God. He is the one true sanctuary. We can pray in the name of Jesus and truly mean it. And God will answer our prayers. He is the true sanctuary, as it were. Jesus Christ's words are truth, aren't they? All these promises that he says, that he is the way, all his words oppose every single error, don't they? And so Jesus Christ's words are true. There is no exaggeration in his words. If Jesus Christ says to you, follow me, if he's calling you this day to follow him, to leave the world, to leave your sin, to leave your failures, for me to leave my failures, leave it all behind you. If he's calling you, saying, leave those things and believe upon my name, I am the way, follow me, you can believe that if you believe on his name, he will save you. He will remember your sins no more. He is the truth. His words are the truth. There's no error. There's no exaggeration. We can be prone, can't we, to exaggerate at times. We can promise things, and sometimes we can let people down, can't we? But not with Jesus, friends. His words are light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. The words of Jesus guide us. These words in God's most precious word, they guide us. They are a light and a lamp unto our feet and our path in this dark world of sin. They guide us to heaven, to Jesus, as it were. They warn us of the sin and corruption in us, in the world that influences the pull of the world. They warn us, don't they? They comfort the soul, because we know we're going to die. We know that sin is what makes us die. And so his truth warns us. It shows us when the light of God's word shines in my heart and shows me that I'm a sinner and shows me the dirt and filth in my heart, and the light shines, I have nothing else to do but say, please, Jesus, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's what I am by nature. I'm a sinner in need of God's mercy. When his truth, his light shines, that's my only response that I can do. And so Jesus Christ's words are truth. They guide, they warn, they comfort. And his promises are sure, friends. His promises are absolutely sure. Every word that he has promised in his word, he has come true of all those who have believed in him, who has fled to him for refuge, to that sanctuary for refuge, to the rock, as it were. And dear friends, I can put my hands up and say, from the day the Lord Jesus saved me, when I was in my 20s, the very day that he came into my heart and he saved me from my sin, every promise of God, he has not failed me in one thing. I can put my hands up and say, I have failed him from that time. I have let the Lord down with my lips, although God has helped me to be to love him more and to live for him more, but I have only failed him. But Jesus Christ has never, ever let me down. He has never failed me since the day that he truly came into my heart. And that is true with you, dear friends. He will never, ever fail you. His truth, his promises, friends, will keep you to the end. And so Jesus Christ is not only the way, he is not only the truth, but Jesus is also the life. He is also the life. He has created us in his image. He has created us. He has breathed life into us. He sustains us with He sustains our every breath. Even when he was on the cross of Calvary, it was said that he was upholding all things by his power. He was, even when he was suffering for our sins, even then he was thinking about us. Even then he was thinking about feeding us and giving us breath and life. Jesus Christ, even then, was sustaining you, giving you life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, co-equal with God, is self-sustaining. He doesn't need to rely upon any other thing. We need to rely upon the heavens to bring us rain and sunshine so that we can have food. We need to depend on other people and jobs. We need to depend upon so many things, don't we? But Jesus doesn't need to depend on anything because he is God. He has life, a spring of life in himself. And we must go to that fount of every blessing. We must go to that spring, as it were. Jesus Christ has always existed, hasn't he? He has existed throughout time and throughout eternity. He is not bound by time. Jesus Christ is the great I Am. He has always been, and he always will be. He has always existed, as it were. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He's not only the giver of life, but he is the resurrection and the life. He is the giver of eternal life. He has the keys, as it were, to heaven and hell. He has the power to cast us into hell or to make us to rise and be with him in heaven, as it were. He is the giver of life, eternal life. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He has power to give us everlasting life in heaven. And so Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, because he is the beginning and the middle and the end, isn't he? He's the beginning. We must start in Christ. We must start with him. If we truly want to be converted, we must start with him. We must set off in him. And then we must continue in Christ's truth. The sad reality is, dear friends, amongst the much Christianity we see over the world now, the comfortable, charismatic, and much Christianity, is we see that many people don't truly know Christ because they don't carry on in his truth. They don't carry on living in God's truth, in his word, being guided by the word, being governed by the word. We must start in Christ. He is the way. Having a relationship through the door, through Jesus, the way. Having that relationship, believing in him with all our hearts, and carrying on in that truth, and finishing in Christ's love. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the question I have for each and every one of us here today is, what way are you taking today? What way are you taking today? God sees our hearts, he sees our minds. What way are you going in today? Are you going in the way of self? Is it about me? Is it about you? Or is it about Jesus? Is it about living for him? Am I living for worldly things, as we thought about last week, earthly things? Or am I living for heaven, for his kingdom? What way are you taking? It says in today's text, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. We must come through the Son. It says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. In other words, many people try to get to know God in a wrong way. And Jesus Christ here was comforting his disciples, comforting those who sought him, saying, I am the way. Don't listen to the Pharisees. Don't listen to the religious elite. Don't listen to all these people that will tell you that you can get to heaven another way, that you must do all these things to get to heaven. I am the way. Trust in me. Believe that I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am equal of God. If you know me, you know the Father. If you know me and you repent of your sins and trust in me, you will truly be saved. And so, whose truth are you abiding in? Whose truth are you abiding? Because all of us by nature, we look to self, don't we? Oh, I'll do what I want in life. Or are we abiding in God's word? Is this our rule for life? I will trust in God's word. It is a light and a lamp unto my feet and my path. This is my guide. This is everything to me. This is God's word written down for me. Am I living according to the word of God. Whose life will you be found in? Will you be found in yourself or in Christ? Whose life will you be found in? Paul said, didn't he, for me to live is Christ. For me, my life is to live for him. I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself anymore. For me to live is Christ. He has saved me. I was a persecutor. I was very religious. I was a very religious person, but I did not know God. But now, when he truly knows Jesus, when Jesus confronted him, now he knows, doesn't he? For me to live is Christ, he says. And he says to die is gain. To die is gain. We see, when we got Christ in our heart, we don't fear death anymore. I'm not scared. When I die, I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven. I'm going to be with my love, the one who saved me. And what a blessed thing this is, isn't it? And dear friends, I just want to finish with a quote from J.C. Ryle today. J.C. Ryle says, that prolific preacher, he says, sin is a deep gulf between man and God. How shall man cross it? God is in heaven, holy, pure, spiritual, undefiled, light without any darkness at all, a being who cannot bear that which is evil or look upon iniquity. Man is a poor fallen worm crawling on earth for a few years, sinful, corrupt, erring, defective, a being whose imagination is only evil and whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How shall man and God be brought together? How? With all our sin and corruption, how can we be brought together to have union with each other? To know God, how can we be brought together? How shall man ever draw near to his Maker without fear and shame? Blessed be God, there is a way. There is a way. And that way is through Jesus. There is a road. There is a path. There is a door, isn't there? There is a door to get right with God, and it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. You may enter in that door, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon one condition. There's only one condition to enter upon that door, and that is that you feel your need of him. You must feel your need of him, that you are a hell-deserving sinner, and I deserve hell, my sin. That is the only requirement, condition that we need, is that by the Spirit of God, we understand that we deserve hell. We deserve God's punishment. We deserve to be barred from heaven. We could be like the thief on the cross and say, remember me. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve to know you. That is the only condition, that you feel that you are a sinner. And you can say, like that poor publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He could not even look up his head to heaven. He had beat his hands on his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee, you see, the Pharisee said, I'm not like this person. I'm not like this publican, this sinner. I tithe, I do all these things. But you see, the person that went justified, Jesus said, that person, the sinner, the publican, who knows he's fallen short, he's the one that's going to be right with me. He's the one that's going to come to heaven. He's the one that knows me. Because he says, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. The truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ did not come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And we are all sinners. And he is the friend of sinners. He has come to save sinners. And that is not what most Christianity will tell you today. The do-gooder Christianity. If you're a sinner, that's good news. I'm a sinner, that's good news. Because Jesus Christ, the righteous, wants to give you his righteousness so that your sins are remembered no more. Believe in it. Believe in it with all your heart. Because if you truly believe in it with all your heart, on the name of Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he can fix that broken relationship. He can give you his salvation. He can give you his righteousness. His truth, He will put within you. He will give you His Holy Spirit. He will give you everlasting life in Him. He will give you all the promises that He promised. Believe in it with all your don't doubt at all. Take hold upon the Lamb of faith and believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ saves sinners such as us. Amen.